So welcome back to the Sharon Fitzmaurice podcast, episode 102. And my guest today is Patricia Lohan, feng shui expert, speaker and author. Born and bred in the west of Ireland, but Patricia is now living her dream, traveling and working from all over the world. Patricia is the creator of Powerhouse Feng Shui and author of The Happy Home, a guide to creating a happy, healthy, wealthy life and become a business powerhouse using feng shui. She has been called Mary Poppins of feng shui, which I think is fabulous for her. Patricia has helped thousands of people across the globe embrace feng shui and creates lasting changes in their business, their homes and their lives. Patricia has seen firsthand the power of the mind, surroundings and inner healing, clearing and aligning everything so it all works holistically. What a beautiful introduction, Patricia.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
It's wonderful. But for those that have not heard of feng shui, can you please explain to them what it is?
So for everyone who's here, I'm sure you might have heard of acupuncture and balancing the energy of your body. And just for simplifying it all out, feng shui is acupuncture for your home. So there's like a growing wellness field that we're all in and part of. A lot of it focuses on ourselves, our body, our wellness, our mindset, our own personal energy. And not so many people consider that your home has its own energy. It has its own frequency, and it is literally impacting you, whether you like it or not, good and bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so important because we hear a lot of people saying they have a lot of clutter in their home and, you know, what they should keep and what they should not keep. And again, for me, I always think sometimes when I think about my mind being busy, Patricia, I look at my bedroom and go, yes, I need to clear my bedroom out, because when I don't have a clear bedroom, then I can't relax in a clear space. So I wake up again to clutter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose for me, it's also like the definition of what clutter is from my feng shui perspective. But, you know, your environment is a direct mirror of you. So if your home is imbalanced and I think it's not necessarily just aesthetically, because a lot of people would associate feng shui as being the visible. So the clutter and that around your house would be like, that's bad feng shui. But most when someone asked me, well, what, like, how would I know if my house is bad feng shui? I'd be like, well, you know, how's your bank account? How's your relationships? How's your health? How's your family? Because it impacts every part of your life, and the energetics that's going on in your house are directly impacting all those areas. And then from an aesthetic level, in terms of like clutter is one aspect of it, but typically, you know, the bed, tidying up the room, you know, you'll tidy it and you know, you'll feel better, and that's inevitable. Or like, I have a lot of mothers that would be on to me and they'd be like, oh my God, the kids' bedrooms or the kids, the playroom is such a mess. I'm like, that's called life. Like, as long as it's getting moved and cleaned, like as long as the kids are playing with the toys, if they've been there for 6 months and haven't been moved, that's an issue. That's more clutter, because it's more stagnant energy, as opposed to, you know, the dishes on the counter, you know, you're going to wash them. You know, they're going to get sorted. You know that the laundry is going to get sorted. Like, it's, that's called life. And as long as it's moving, it's fine. Whereas the cupboards or the spaces where nothing has been touched for 6, 8, 10 years is where the stagnancy is. And, you know, feng shui is all about qi and movement and flow, and where there's stagnancy, there is, you know, and that's exactly the same in the body. You know, it's like where there's stagnancy creates disharmony and disease, same with your home.
That's a lovely way of explaining it. Thank you, Patricia. So can you tell our listeners how you discovered feng shui, because you're very passionate about it, and I love, you know, I see you across social media and you're on YouTube and everywhere, and you ask people questions and you ask them to comment on it, you know, to give their perspective, and then you'll come back with what's right or not so right, you know. So how did you discover it for you, and what is the big passion that kind of made you want to powerhouse into this and help more people in the world?
Believe it or not, you know, I grew up in Galway. I was 16, and first, I don't know, maybe I saw it on Life at Three. I have no idea how I first came across it, but I was about 15, 16, and I asked for books about it for Christmas. And as part of my Chris Kindle, I got two books about feng shui. And that kind of led me down, like, you know, when, and I think I remember talking to a lady once, and she was like, when you're like, your soul knows what you're meant to do, but you just don't, and you have to figure it out. But my 16-year-old self knew what I was interested in. But you know, when I was doing rejig in my bedroom, I even got my parents to hire a feng shui consultant to come and do their house. At the time, my parents had the 12 pins in Barna. We had someone out to feng shui the place. Like, I was on a mission with it. Like, I was just completely, this is amazing. It's life changing. And like, I just, like, when I find something I'm passionate about, I'm just super passionate about it. So I was like all over it as a teenager. Like, and my friends thought I was nuts. My parents thought I was nuts. And I just was like determined to do it and to do what we could. So I was doing that. Like, that was like 16, this is like a long time ago. And then I ended up just a very traditional, like, went to university in Limerick, had a very normal, like, studied business, came back, worked at my parents, the family business. And I ended up quitting and moving to India. And when I was in India, I had like a massive spiritual awakening. When I ended up moving back to Ireland, moving to Dublin, doing sound healing and yoga and lots of other amazing things. And I remember, I was like, oh, now I'm ready to call in love. I'm just ready now. And I'm like, I'm going to feng shui the apartment. So I got a new apartment and I was like, I'm setting this up for love. And I'll never forget standing outside the front door, and I'd got a new flatmate to move in with me. And I was cleaning the front door because that's very good feng shui. I'd seen it in my books. And I actually went home and found the two books in Galway. Like, I found the two feng shui books. And I was doing cleaning the front door, and I said to her, I'm not leaving here until I'm moving in with my husband. And she rolled around laughing. She was like, ah, yeah, right. And I'm like, I am deadly serious. Like, I'm going to do everything. And I did everything, set up my bedroom, change things, my poor dad to come from Galway to bring me to IKEA to buy things, to set the room up properly. Like, I did everything. And that was very, in a very short time, I met my now husband Ken. And that kind of opened up the door to a lot of questions, because in spiritual communities, there are a lot of women and they're also less men, you know. And a lot of my single spiritual friends were like, how did you meet him? Where did you find him? Like, even my spiritual male friends were like, how did you meet him? We're looking for some more buddies. Like, how the hell, where did he come out of? And I was like, it's called the feng shui. I did this and this and this and this. And that kind of got the ball rolling with the feng shui. Now, I had like my own holistic practice. I was working with people, you know, I wasn't looking for a new career. It was just, this happened, you know? So I'm in Dublin and I'm working with my clients, and then I'd be asking them, tell me about your bedroom. What's going on with your set? What do you want to call in? And I'd be giving them like feng shui tips, and they'd come back and be like, oh yeah, that worked, that worked. And then myself and Ken moved in together, and I said to him, of course, students ready, teacher appears. I said to him, I want to do this feng shui. And he said, I do too. Now, he had feng shui to his house for love. Like, I walked around it and I was like, oh my God, he has two bedside tables. He has this set up, he's that. And I was like, he has feng shui'd it. And he'd been into it since his 20s. Very similar, you know, on a path of growth, going, well, if my house is a mess and everything is up, like, no wonder I'm a mess. So he started from that. And then I said, I'm going to do this. And said, so am I. Just total, like, let's do it for our house, for the two of us. You know, it'll be interesting. I've always been interested in it. And we did it for the two of us. And like that, like, just putting in context, the house was had Ken had built. There was no floors, like, it was just concrete floors, no finished bathrooms. Like, we were just living in one bedroom and a kitchen. It was just empty, basically, empty shell. And we did the feng shui on it. Like, we just came home, did what I do now with my clients. And within, I think it was, let me see, when did we do it? Like, within 6 months. I had like a six-figure windfall, And my business took off. Like, I got featured in all the newspapers, all the media. I was on like so many things. It was just, and like, basically my whole life changed. Everyone was just like, it's just happened to you. Like, you used to cycle around Dublin with singing bowls. Like, you couldn't afford a car. Now you have a car, you're living south of the mountain, you're redecorating it. I was like, oh yeah, all of these. Yeah, like, it's just taken off. So that's what, yeah. And that was basically the start. I kind of said, oh, and I'm on a PS in my newsletter to my community, I am doing feng shui. And people literally stopped me on the street. Like, I met a client, one of my sound healing clients bumped into me, said, you're doing the feng shui. Are you doing the feng shui now? I said, yeah. She said, I always wanted that. Can you come do my house? I was like, okay. So I tottered off and did her house, and then the next and the next, and now we've worked with thousands of people. So and you know, it's being guided. That's it. It's like, you know, when you're on the right path and you're helping and serving and making a difference, like, because our wins now are like mediocre compared to like what's happened to our clients, and it's just like, that's the fire that keeps you going.
You know, that is amazing, and I love to hear that as well. So again, you know, going back to 16-year-old Patricia, you know, and wanting these books, and again listening, you know, to that calling later on. And I think that's a really important point to make, because lots of people, and I'm sure lots of your clients, have told you that they felt something, a calling late earlier on in their life, and they went, oh, I could never do that, or they just forgot about it. And then later on in life, and they're going, Ari, I couldn't do that now, and maybe I won't. And you're kind of going, like you said, go back to what you're passionate about. And then what you're doing is, there's your movement of energy, because you're creating something that you're passionate about, which always brings our vibration up. Just like your vibration is hitting the 100%. Roof when you talk about feng shui, and you talk about the story and meeting Ken. You know, it's so beautiful. And I'm sure you have naysayers that will say, that's all right, that happened for you, Patricia, you know, but it won't happen for me. What do you say to those times?
What do I say to them? I say, well, what is it that you're exactly looking for in your life? And they'll be like, oh, I'd like to, you know, meet my soulmate. And I'm like, okay, well, here's 20 people that I've helped. Here's 20 videos of people I've met. That's not even all of the people I've met, because I haven't interviewed all of them. Or here's, you want the financial windfall like that? Oh, here's, you know, 200 of those. We have so, and I think this is the thing for me now, it's not my story that's the priority, it's like everybody else. Like, we've seen so much, just it's gained so much momentum, and it really works. So, you know, the naysayers can be like a naysayer, and I'm like, I'm not really interested in converting them, because most people who come into my world just have a feeling. They've had a bit like me, they had like a curiosity about feng shui, something is definitely off, and they're like, since I've moved into this house, this never gone right, or this has happened, or me and my husband are happier when we're away outside the house, we get on great, we come in and we're fighting all the time, you know, it's like they know there's something off. So I'm not looking really for naysayers. If they want to, they can, like, you know, but I'm way more interested in people who actually want change in their lives. Like, the naysayers don't want change, a bit like what you said, the movement and the passion. Like, people in my world, they want change, they want to grow, they want to support themselves, their family, they, you know, that's with where it's all at, you know, because there's no point, that person won't change anyways. So yeah. Fun. And actually, for me, with naysayers, like, in terms of like the partners, so we've a lot, like, our community is 99.9% women, and the occasional man comes into the group, into our community, but mostly it's women. And it's the funniest thing ever, because the women join, and then the men get, the husbands of the partners get these massive wins, new jobs, cars, promotions, all these things, and they're like, oh, I don't know what you're doing, but like, just keep doing it. I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to know. And they're like, it's so funny, because like, and we just have it countless, and they're just like, oh, I'll just like, I'm just going to entertain your whatever ridiculous idea, you know? And now then it's like, oh yeah, what's that thing? What did Patricia say again? Like, they didn't tell me all this. And I'm like, yeah. So, you know, it's the proof is in the pudding. That's for me with it. So.
And I think it's like that for a lot of things, isn't it? When there are people in the house and they don't believe in it or whatever it is, and then they start seeing the results and they go, oh, and that curiosity arises then. And then they start taking notice and actually going with it, you know, and allowing it. And I think that's one of the things. And for me, you know, the one thing that's really important is the people that want to change and want to create something in their life, they'll jump towards you. But there's other people that hold back because maybe they've done that all their lives and they haven't chosen themselves. They've always put everything and everyone else first. But maybe listening to you, they might just choose themselves. And it might be as simple as just going, okay, well, I don't feel my energy in my house is very happy. So how can I just change that? And by changing that one thing, it could create so many other changes for them in their lives.
Oh my God, like even as you say that, I have like shivers through my body because it is, it's like, it's just a domino effect because you're starting. And for me, when I see houses and work with clients, see, you know, we decorate or we create our home, our environment through our unconscious. So it is kind of the blocks, like the, it's like, it's very, you know, the picture, like for example, the artwork, I would look at people's houses and see art that they've put up and I'd be like, like that is a representative of where that person is. So whether they're like single, they want to call in love, there's lots of women, pictures of single women in the walls. Or like say for a woman whose husband is away a lot or seems to be gone a lot, again, it's going to be a lot of single women pictures. Or, you know, I remember doing a house years ago in Galway, walking in and seeing this beautiful family photo portrait on the wall. And we'd all think, that's a great thing to have in your house. Like, great. And I could pick up, that's lovely, that's a great picture, this is great, it's in our family area, it's fabulous, they come into the, and she said, oh geez, we had the biggest fight, taking that with that picture, the biggest fight on that day. And I was like, oh my God, like get it out. I don't care how pretty or how nice it is, like that, and that was one of the issues in the family, you know? So it's like, it almost like the way it's set up, the, it can be mirroring, it's like so fascinating. And so it is, yeah, it's, when you start like diving into it and it's that ripple effect of like one change leads to the next, to the, oh, look at that, I've just seen that, I'm gonna change this. And it's fun.
Yeah, I love that because I remember, like you, I had found a book years ago on feng shui and like that it was having a relationship corner in a part of the house for me and my husband. And I remember it was so funny because we didn't feel like we had any part for our house because we had two small kids at the time. And I thought, well, the least I can do is make a corner for us, you know, and it was so important at the time. And then we started actually making time for ourselves. So just by changing the energy and putting some effort into even just that little corner, we then started physically making time and energy for each other to spend even an hour after the kids went to bed, just having a conversation instead of just sitting in front of the TV. And that changed things. And every time that we had time for ourselves, we called it our day of fun, whether that was just out gardening or going for a walk in the local park or, you know, just doing the shopping together. We called it our day of fun instead of it making feel like a huge task or a burden. We started changing the energy of it as well. And that has continued on in our lives. You know, and I always say that to people, it's the way you perceive things in your life also, isn't it, Patricia?
100%. And I just absolutely love that example you've made because it's like where your attention goes, energy flows. And oftentimes in your house, you're just walking past things all the time and not even realizing that they could be impacting your energy or not, you know? So it's like all the, you know, creating this space and that intention. And that's really one of the things that I see biggest in our world is that, you know, when women do come in, it's like I ask them, well, what do you want in your career? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your finances? Because you're, a lot of the time, they've never actually stopped and been asked. They're so busy in their life thinking about everybody else and go, 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 go. And it's like, and like what they don't have. I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't have this. It's like, stop for a minute and let's see, what do you have? And then what would you like where your attention is, like, and that really stops people, like really gets people thinking. And, you know, I just saw a lady yesterday posting in our group and it's taken her a while. She joined our program. It's taken her a while to send in the information because the questionnaire, even just the questionnaire is kind of like a, you know, it's like looking at every part of your life, like what's going on, what's working, what's not working. Because when you're in that wheel of go, 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 you're kind of just, it's on, it's like the swan with the paddling under the water, like, oh, like, you know, and gliding through, and you're like, oh, I all is fine, but everything is fucking crazy. So it's like when we come into your world, they kind of stop paddling, just stop for a minute. Where are you? Like, state of the union, and then where do you want to go? And we set that kind of template. So then you've got like, and then you've got a path, you know, it's just like, and then we set it up. You set the house up to support that. You know, for me doing the apartment in Dublin, and even that intention, like, I'm not leaving here till I meet my husband. You know, she rolled her off and I was like, I'm clear on what my intention is. And now I'm going to set the space for it. So when you do that and you get conscious about your environment and where you're going and what you want, it changes everything.
And it really is that focus, as you said, on the attention, focusing on what it is you really want. And you're so true, you know, giving that questionnaire to people. I hear that a lot from people and they'll say, I know what I definitely don't want and I don't want any more of that. And then I'll say, yes, but now tell me, what is it you want? And they get stuck. And I think there's many people that are stuck out there and they're probably afraid sometimes to step forward because they don't have the answer. So how do you help people that say, I don't really know what I want? I'm stuck. You know, I might have worked in the same job for 20 years. I'm in a relationship that's not working. You know, my finances are dribbling in and out. And I don't really know what I want, but I know what I definitely don't want. How can you advise them then, Patricia?
So this comes back to actually the fundamental feng shui. So when they do come in and I get their information on their house, I'll be like, well, no wonder nothing has happened in your career area, because it's like, it's missing. You know, or it's because the energy is really bad. Like, back to the idea of feng shui being Chinese medicine, like the same philosophy as Chinese medicine and balancing the yin and yang. If it's way too out of balance, then it's going to not like, or off, then it's not going to be working the way you want it to be. And what I like to kind of conceive the idea of a feng shui is like, imagine going to your favorite place in nature. Like, so, you know, I'd be just thinking about, like, if for me and God, I'd be like walking down the prom into Black Rock, sitting down, listening to the waves and the sun. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. And just being like, oh my God, I just feel so good. So connected to nature. And essentially, you can get really peaceful and into a good state. And that's what we do when we're working with feng shui. It's like we're bringing the elements of nature into the house to balance and harmonize it. And that's where the flow happens. So where something is stagnant, some of the areas of the house may be super stagnant. And when we put the right remedy, the right balancing in, it just creates movement. And that alone helps people kind of go, oh, things are starting to move, and then they can get more clarity. With that idea of things moving, for example, like when you start to look and realize, like, in feng shui, every area of your home represents a different part of your life. So you said the relationship area. So the relationship area is the southwest. So if you go and look in your southwest and you find like all the, I don't know, all the legal papers from when you were, I don't know, some drama in your life, and it's in that area, you're like, oh, okay, if I get rid of those, probably not good for helping my things moving in my relationship. And as we start to just get more conscious aware of our environment, things start to move. And with that idea of not knowing what you want, what happens is the house starts to bring, as the house comes into balance, like that balance of yin and yang energy and that yin yang balance where the center line is, just like the energy that moves a river, it just comes into flow. Naturally, that you get the person, the people in the house start to get into flow, and then they start to get more clarity. So it's this, it's just a kind of like a, it's a beautiful thing to witness for people. And then we invite them to get more clarity. So like, oh, this feels good. Like, what would, and I often say to people, you know, it's not necessarily about defining like what you want in terms of like, I have this specific job title. And it's more about how do you want to feel? You know, because right now we're in a place where we're talking about like feeling stuck, or everything is going crazy, you're paddling like mad and you're not going anywhere, like spinning around. How do you want to feel? And then that, like, how do you want to feel going to work every day? Like, what is the feeling you want? And this big lesson came from me so many years ago. I'm like in India, you're learning to be a yoga teacher, training in sound healing. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I'd left, I was virtually unemployable. I'd worked 8 years for my family. So I'm like, oh, what did I do? Oh, a bar, restaurant, unless I wanted to go back into that business. And now I'm a yoga teacher. I'm like, I don't know what would I do? And I just had this beautiful affirmation from Louise Hay. And I wrote it down, I must have said a million times. And it was like, I work at a job I truly enjoy doing, working with people I love, who love me, expressing my creative talents every day. And like, that is it. Like, does it say feng shui consultant? Does it say author? Does it say, none of that. Does it say any of that? It just said, I work doing something I love. Like, I love this with people I love. Like, so I actually work with my husband. My team are amazing. I actually adore my community. Like, they are just the best. Like, we just have so much fun in our community. Like, so I work with people I love, who love me, expressing my creative talents. Like, I make up stuff all the time. Like, I'm just like a little channel. Like, Ken said to me that he's like, we were only just saying it yesterday. We're like, look what we created. Like, we did one course. Look at this. And that's because it's just creation. You know, that's the natural flow of things. So it's not about like the, and for people who are out there feeling stuck, I personally don't think it's about the wallowing in the stuckness or the I don't know what I want. You'll know how you want to feel. And that is so important. And I, of course, at some stage of your life, you felt that feeling and you can get a sense of what you want to do. And you can play with it and start to like, oh, well, I wonder what would it feel like, you know, if I went into work and everyone was like happy and, you know, joyful, or what is like, if I was doing something that I enjoyed, what would that feel like? Oh, yeah. Like, how would it feel if I was? And you said at the very beginning, it's a matter of perspective. You know, and we had this with Ken years ago. Before we moved away from Ireland and had been traveling all over, he was an engineer, and sometimes he'd come back and he'd be like, an office, and he'd be whinging. And I just said to him, so like, what are you working on at the moment, like as an engineer, like what's the job you're doing right now? And he was like, well, I'm doing these like plant, these drawings for this water treatment plant in Sudan. And I was like, you're what? And I'm like, can you not see the impact that would have? You know, it's like, talk about like, I was just like, have you actually thought about what you're doing? And he was like, so it's like every job that we have, we can actually look at like how we're actually serving and making a difference. Like, and even if he was just doing drawings for a house, I'm still like, you're helping someone get a house, a home, you know, you're helping, you know. So it's that perspective that we often can tunnel into, like, but it's, I'm in the office and all that, like, what actually are you doing?
Yeah, I think that is beautiful, because I think people don't realize the impact, whatever their job is, but they might be looking at it in a very different way. And I think that's very valuable. And I think when people listen to you, they'll kind of maybe have a shift in perspective, Patricia, as well. But for me, also like you, it's about the feeling, the passion for something. And I've always said it, even if I didn't know if it was going to work or not, if I felt passionate about it, I just went and did it. And it always worked out for me, rather than trying to push or force something which I thought I should do. And then it just fell back and I was going, why did I waste my time on that? But I did learn something from it, because we always do.
Exactly. And like, the passion element comes from a different place to the force, or I have to, or I should. Like, that's so lower energy, lower vibration. I should do this, I should do that. Whereas it's like, I really want to do this. You know, I'm looking forward to doing it. And I remember years into the journey, and an old school friend of mine saying to me, well, like, about my sound healing and all of this. And she's like, do you know what? You stuck at it. Like, you've stuck at it, you know? And like, when you like something, you're just like, I stick at it, I have. And it's the same with the feng shui, you know, when people started, they're like, you're gonna do feng what? Like, what? Yeah. Even say it, how does that work? And I was like, well, I've got books about it, like it's 5,000 years old, you know, like my teachers, and this is so fun for me, it just blows my mind, my teachers, they like, and some of the masters I've worked with, if they like taught feng shui in China in the 90s, they would have been arrested. Like, it was illegal. Like, that's how powerful this practice. The people, the, you know, the higher powers in China at the time did not want something so potent in the hands of normal people. You know, so you're like, oh, you know, actually, this thing's been around for a really long time, and I'm going to keep at it because I can see it, and I'll persist because people are coming back and telling me good things are happening. And, you know, it's a job that helps people. Like, who doesn't want a job that helps people?
Oh, I think it's just amazing. And like that, coming back and seeing people's results, it's your results, but you're getting that more and more passion about what you're doing when you see people being rewarded for changing, something within themselves, their homes, their lives, and it changes everything for them. And I saw that on your YouTube channel where one lady said, she loves the powerhouse and she loves the community. That everything is flowing in for her in her bank account, and she sold her house, and where she was felt very kind of stuck. But again, she stepped forward and she said, I need support. I need some help here to get things moving. I'm not sure how to do it myself. So I'm going to go to somebody that knows how to help me. And you were that person, Patricia.
Sometimes we think we have to do it all on our own. And like way back when I was back in Ireland before I quit, I was a very miserable, I was very unhappy. Like I wore black every day to work. I was like, I remember my brother-in-law being like, is she going to her funeral like every day? Like, what's happened? Where is Patricia gone? Like, what happened to her? Like, you know, I just was, you know, just in a really dark place. And the help I needed came in to the bar. Like they walked in, they were just there. The same yoga teacher had been coming in for 2 years. And then one day I said to him, are you teaching yoga? He's like, tonight at 7:30. And I said, okay, I'll be there. And then a woman came to help me with Irish translation and then ended up introducing me into meditation and astrology. Like the help that you need to move you to the next level is literally right under your nose. Like it's right in front of you. It's not, you have to go far and search or anything. You know, you don't need to go. Like I moved to India. I didn't need to. You didn't need to go to India. Like and it was fun. It was amazing. I loved it. But we don't need to go do a drastic thing. Just need to ask for the help and then watch and listen. We talked about that earlier. Like, listen, what's being presented, who's put in front of you, what's being said. Oh, and then, you know, ask, okay, if this isn't what I'm meant to do, give me a sign, you know?
I always say the opportunity comes towards you. You don't have to go chasing them. And again, it's if I really want to make this change, there's something that I really feel. And again, it comes back to that feeling, Patricia, doesn't it? That I'm feeling
It
things
does.
need to change within me. And instead of getting stuck, as you said, on the stuckness, it's keep finding out where that movement can become in your life, whether it's in your mind first and then in your energy. But I'd like to come back to, which I think is really funny, the wearing of black, Patricia, because we see it so much, maybe not in other countries, but we see it a lot in Ireland in particular, where people wear a lot of black, not just for the funerals, but it is kind of representative of their mood, where they are in their lives. And some people will say, well, no, I wear it because it's classic and it's smart and all the rest. And I'm going, yes, but you could just lighten it up with a scarf or a shirt or something, earrings, a bag, anything, not be like the dour one walking around. How important is color in our life, Patricia, when it comes to feng shui?
Yeah, so in feng shui, when we're born, like we have a feng shui for your house, there's feng shui for you. And when you're born under a specific Chinese animal, and then you also have an element that's associated with the year that you're born. So that element is like the dominant one. So for example, for me, earth element is the dominant element for, I was born with the element of earth. It was earth rooster. Fine. And then what will then you think about the cycle, how the elements work with each other. So for example, as an earth element, browns, creams would be good for me because they're symbolic of the color, the essence color. But then what creates earth? So if you have a fire, it's going to create earth, it's going to create ashes. So for me, you see, I'm wearing red earrings and like I have like a dress that's all different colors. It doesn't mean I eliminate any colors out of my wardrobe. But I do kind of play with it and I'll focus on the ones that are best for me. So I know that fire element colors are really good for me and I will wear them during, say, for example, if I was doing a photo shoot or for my branding, I'll bring the best colors for my element. So for everybody out there, you all have your own specific colors and they also link back to the best color for your wallet to bring more abundance and flow in. And I can actually have a guide. So I can give you that for anyone who wants to get their best colors. But with the best colors, then it doesn't mean you say no to the colors. So for example, black, wearing a lot of black is associated with the water element. And the water element, if you think about it, is kind of dark, it's emotional, it can get stagnant, it also can get overwhelmed. It's you know, especially say the person who is water element, they worry a lot, there's a lot of fear. So, you know, there's I remember doing these numbers for my family and my sister-in-law was like, at the minute we did, we're like, oh, of course she's water element, like she's just pure worry wart. We were like, of course, like it's just in her, we just know, like it'd be the first person you'd be like afraid of whatever, you know. Anyways, and then everyone else is like, oh, that's kind of true. Like, so for example, people who are like fire element or nine, they would be very good manifestors, and they could, red would be a great color for them, or green would feed a fire. So there's colors that are, there's an interaction between them. And I think that it's no harm wearing all colors or trying different colors, especially when you just kind of integrate even the chakras into the different colors to kind of activate ones. Like if you want to shine more, like bring some yellow in. And over the years, I used to wear like a lot of pink and red, and now I've moved into just all different colors. I'm like pink and red and white. And even for me, I had to kind of play with black again a bit because I had none. And I was like, okay, I really need to honor all the colors. So I would definitely encourage people to bring color into their lives. And in terms of like from a feng shui perspective, I don't like having like houses or like decorating like a full room of red or a lot of blue, like a lot of blue, because obviously damp, cooling, so like it can be quite emotional and create a lot of issues financially with excess water element in the house, or excess fire element in the house could create arguments and kind of like anxiety and stress. So there's a lot of aspects of color, but in terms of like from a house, just keep a minimized, like of the really dark ones, just keep it kind of as neutral, and have to bring some color in like smaller elements as opposed to a lot. And then for you personally, I would definitely start to play with color and, you know, just test it. You don't have to go get a new wardrobe. Like, I love your suggestion of a scarf. And then be mindful, like, what's it like when you wear black? Like, what is the reasoning behind the black? Because I was a very colorful and then I kind of shifted and I was then in black all the time. And it was definitely a very dark time for me. Like it was, you know, very dark. Does it mean that I never wear black now? Now I wear it occasionally and I'm like, oh yeah, this is interesting. It's different. It feels different. So you can play with it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because I would say color is very important. And I think people sometimes go for the safe colors. So I would say to them, you know, why are you wearing that color all the time? Oh, well, it's safe. And I'm, you know, my weight issues and those things, you know. And I said, well, sometimes just picking a different color can change the way you feel about yourself also, you know, that you deserve to look bright and happy and to be noticed. Oh, yeah. You know, not be hiding. So they're like, oh God, I couldn't wear yellow. Everyone would be looking at me. You know.
I went for a big yellow face. The last year I got a lot of yellow. But I think that this also goes to what we were talking about earlier. It's like nothing changes in your comfort zone. So wearing black every day, nothing's going to change. Like nothing changed inside your comfort zone. So if you want change, you have to get uncomfortable. You have to dip your toes in the water of some things that are different. And you can do it in so many different ways. Like there's just so many different ways. And I think that, you know, in Ireland, in Galway for sure, and actually all over Ireland, so many people started getting very uncomfortable swimming in the sea. And if you can swim in the sea like that, like Wim Hof teaches this work of like going Go in cold water, get out of your comfort zone. Like the benefits it has on your health and your immunity, everything is so amazing. But it's that's the thing. And then you come out and you're like, oh my God, that felt amazing. Like you never regret it. Like I'll swim in Salt Hill, hail, snow. I went there once and there was like ice everywhere. And these young lads were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I never regret it. It's always the best thing ever. So, you know, just that idea of like nothing ever changes inside your comfort zone and you can stretch it, little things. And like Ireland has just been amazing with that whole sea swimming kind of massive thing that unfolded. And that's out of people, it would have been out of a lot of people's comfort zones.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when we look at comfort zones, we realize that it's not very comfortable to be in those comfort zones. You know, and that's why I always smile when people say, oh, well, I'm comfortable here. And I'm going, well, you're obviously not, because you're feeling stuck and you're alone and your money is not flowing. So it's not very comfortable for you in this space. But again, it's that fear of stepping out and towards something they want to do. So I think your advice is lovely, you know, even if it was just to change what they're wearing, to change something, you know, within their house. And I know that in your community, it might be a great place for people to step out of their comfort zone without actually stepping out into the world and maybe listen to like-minded people that have had made changes and now are seeing the results through your support. And so I'm going to urge everyone to check you out on all social media and your YouTube channel. And you also have a mini course on your website, Patricia.
Yeah, my Feng Shui 101 mini course. That course is just such a lovely introduction into what feng shui is, how it works. I recorded it in my house in Dublin, and people have just loved it because it's one of those subjects that you don't really, the truth was never really explained, and it was never really explained fully. And I really wanted something that's like, you know, what is feng shui? How does it work? What are the different things that can be causing, you know, my finances to be this or my health to be this? And then taking, like giving people steps that they can start taking. And there's some little tips and steps to start taking, and also like a masterclass that I love that I did recently in my program. So it's a useful, very useful resource to get started and understand what it's all about.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Patricia. Now tell me about your front door. What should it be like? Because our front door, I always say, is the first kind of visual for people as they're passing or as they are entering. Why is it so important?
So your front door is the mouth of your home. And, you know, back to that concept of your house is like a person. It has a personality, good for some things, bad for other things. It can have all things going on. It also has a face. So the windows are the eyes, the front door is the mouth. And just think about it. If you couldn't eat, you would starve. And it's the same for your house. If the entrance isn't welcoming, the house is like starving of chi, of energy. So it's got no food coming in. So it feels like basically empty and there's nothing flowing. So the very first thing I like to invite people to do when it comes to their entrance is like, go outside, like whatever, you go to the shops and you come back. And just as you come back, just pretend you're a new person and you're like driving up and you're like, notice your house, like look with fresh eyes, start at the front or start at the gate. Does the gate squeak? Does it, like, because, you know, all the sounds, all the nuances around your house, if it's squeaking, it's kind of crying. It's like, you know, like get it fixed. You want things smooth. You want things to feel good. So is it creaking? Is there all weeds? Like, I remember pulling up to do a house once years ago. And I got to the front door and there was no one at the front door. The front door was covered in cobwebs. It wasn't being used. The welcome sign was broken and the plants were all dead. And I just was like, okay, that's okay. And the thing is, if that's what your house is like now, don't worry. You didn't know. Nobody told you. Yeah. So now you know, like, don't feel bad. Like, I am all not about feeling bad about your house. I'm like, okay, now you know. So you can go and change this, you know? So go get a nice, happy welcome mat that says hello. Like, I remember to another house, walking to that mat, welcome to the madhouse. Like, it feels funny, but it was mad in that house. It was. So, like, don't, like, it can be all those, and also all those kind of quotes and cynical kind of quote things. I'm just like, not a fan, because there's that underlying energy behind them that's like not healthy. So get the crazy mat gone, get a nice hat, welcome, you know, or a rainbow or something that feels good for you. Clean it up and spruce it up so that your spirits rise when you come up and you're like, oh, lovely, I'm home. Like, you want to feel good. Make sure the doorbell works, the light bulb is there, working, you know, and this seems so basic, but when you start to stand and look at it, you've probably been walking past the broken light bulb for 5 years, like one of my clients, and be like, oh, and broken means not working, which then reflects back into your life. So something in that area of your house is stopping the flow of energy and not allowing it to flow. So really important to give it, and then have a look around you, get some nice little flower pots or whatever that makes you feel good. And then the next thing is make sure the door is easy to open, like literally easy, because it's like, your mouth can be super glued. If it's not open, there's nothing coming in, you know, nothing is going to come in. So make sure it's easy to open. When you open the front door, you want to see something, or like some people are going to see their stairs, and that's okay. And so you may have heard like, oh my God, that's really bad feng shui. There's thousand other things that we can focus on around your house. The position of your stairs is one aspect. There's loads of other things. So don't be worried about it. The stairs is there, it's fine. But make sure you can open the door fully, like as far back as possible. And then look and be like, if there's a wall there, have a picture that makes you feel good. Not a picture of a family picture that was a bad argument. Get a picture of like flowers, something that a happy memory, like whatever it is that you can come in and be like, oh, that feels good. Because you can start then shifting things around and look what's in the front door. Like, we had a girl in Galway, she had all the bills. Well, basically, she opened her front door and on the side table, all the bills were left there. And do you know what? I talked about the front door and she was like, oh my God, I need to, oh God, yeah, the first thing I see is the bills. So that's the first thing she thought every time she walked in the door. It was a big pile of the bills. And then they used to stack them all up. So it was like not even just the current bills, it was like all the bills. So she moved them. She put them in a drawer in the kitchen, like out of sight. And not that you're not going to pay them, out of sight of mind. Her husband got a €15,000 bonus.
Wow.
Like, the opportunities are waiting for us when we start to change the energy of our homes. But like, it's sometimes it's just she's walking past it every day, and that, yeah, 15,000 bonus. She was like, thanks so much for the advice. You're welcome.
That is amazing.
I should be on commission for this job.
That is amazing. And what about the color of the front door?
So the color of your front door is the same actually as what I was talking about, the handbags, but basically every house has ideal colors for your front door and not so ideal colors. So it's actually unique to your house. It's not something I can say, oh, this color is great for your house, that color. But because we're like on this general chat, you know, our house front door color is red. It happens to be the right color for our house. But some houses red could be actually negative. Now, how big an impact is having the wrong color in the front door? Not massive. It's not like life or death. You know, it's like, it's okay. And actually in my own community with people, when they join and we give them the recommendations for their door, you know, sometimes like you have a white PVC door, you can't change it. Like, or it's going to cost a fortune. No, we don't want that. That's crazy. It's like, don't worry, do all the other things. A bit like the stairs position. Just do all the other things. There's all other opportunities. So I like to recommend just picking color that feels good. You know, one that you're like, oh my God, I'm so happy to come home to this door. It feels great. And you know, again, you do have a front door and has all like cracks on it, or, you know, just to think, you know, when you're in a restaurant and you've heard like, oh, you see the bathroom, it's all dirty. And you're like, oh, I wonder what the kitchen is like.
Yeah.
It's the same as the house. Like, you see cracks, like, is that going to be, it's creating that kind of feeling in the house. So have fun with it. Go around. And like, if you want to continue the journey, just walk around your house with fresh eyes and be like, what's about that? What are that picture? How do I feel about that? Do I need all those books? You know, oh, it's nice for our ego to have hundreds of books, but are you ever going to read them again? You know?
I think that's a Brilliant example. Because only this morning in my own therapy room, I just thought I have so many books there that I would like to be able to share them with others now, you know, because I have read them and I reread them. Some of them I still go back to reference. And but again, sometimes you can hold on to things just for the sake of holding on to them. So again, that has made me feel like, yes, what I was feeling this morning was that I need to share this information now. It's actually knowledge with others, helping them, because, you know, they may not have heard of that book or that person. But I was smiling when you said about the front door. When we moved out here first, and it was going to be our, you know, forever home with the kids. And I really felt like it was the heart of our family, our home. So I painted the front door green. It's a wooden door. And we painted this beautiful natural country green. And I loved it. But then as I was developing my own business and practice, I knew I had to change the color of my front door. I just knew it. So I painted it a very vibrant red. And I remember one of my neighbors said, well, talk about trying to stand out.
Oh my God.
But I like, took it as a positive, because I went, yes, I'm trying to stand out. I want my kids to find my home easily because I'm the house with the red front door.
Exactly. And honestly, if your postman finds it difficult to find your house, or people find it difficult to find your house, you it's difficult for the chief to find you as well. So it's very important, and especially for a business, you know. So that is an amazing idea, and it just makes it stand out, you know, for sure. I absolutely love that. Yes.
Yeah.
And the books thing is amazing, you know, especially the ones that you've read and they were helpful for someone else. I did the same when we moved. I had like a live event at my house, and I had all the books, and I was just like, take them. And you know, another thing that's so interesting is like bookshelves. We had four massive bookshelves in our house, and I realized, I was like, the more bookshelves I have, the more books I'm gonna have, and that means the more stagnant energy. So we started like slowly getting rid of a bookshelf, and then another one, and then another one, and now we've got like one, and it's not even a shelf, it's like a cabinet that just have a few books, and they're like very, very, like our house is on Airbnb when we're away. So they're very, very curated books on the shelf. Like, I'm like, yes, I want my guests, you know, if they're going to have a great experience, these are the books that are going to help them. So it's a really big one. And like, I'm not kidding. I did a house a long time ago, and we walked around, and I was like, and tell me about this bookcase. And she was like, oh, yes, that was here when I moved in. And I was like, oh, great. So how long ago was that? She's like, 32 years ago. I was like, 32 years. Oh, okay. So nobody has touched the book since. I don't know. Mate, no, probably not. So, and there were all these classic books. And I knew, looking at them, I was like, they're really books. And, you know, I was like, that, like, imagine that. In the house, just sitting there like stagnant, no moving, no chi, nothing happening for that length of time. Like, yeah, it was fascinating. And then she was wondering why her son hadn't moved out. And I'm like, I say move the books. Yeah, sorry, I was like, move the books.
He was going to go on the shelf as well, I think, Patricia. So Patricia, you've given loads of great tips already, but as I said, you have your mini course, which is on your website and people can check out, because it's really fascinating. And I love, you know, that we all have our own element that you spoke about, and a color associated with us and all of that. I think that could be really helpful to a lot of people to get things moving for them. So let's give some nice, lovely, fun tip for people that are listening before we say goodbye to you, because you've just been amazing and the time has flown. But say somebody that wants to be more fun, or they'd like to feel more feminine or sexy, you know, what advice would you give to them just to maybe start doing at home to change the energy for themselves?
I would go and declutter your knicker drawer. I would literally start at your knickers. This is like the funnest one when I've done it over the years with my clients. Like, go to your knickers and go through it, and like, get rid of the skanky ones. Like, just goodbye. You know, this is It's like total self-care, having nice underwear for yourself. That, and it doesn't need to be expensive underwear. Like you could just have like really nice soft cotton, like from Dunn's, but as long as they're new and fresh and just that is really nice. And it's the ultimate self-care, opening up your underwear drawer and being like, look at this. This is nice. And I'm looking after me. No, someone might see it or no one might see it, but it doesn't matter. It's the first thing that you, and something you're wearing all the time. So that would be my recommendation. And then you can have some fun. You can be like, I could try different colors. If you don't want to try black in the beginning, I'm changing your clothes. Just change your colors of your underwear. Get fun with it. See how it feels wearing red. How does it wear wearing pink and purple? And just have some fun with that. And honestly, we just see so many people have massive ahas when I ask them to look at their knickers.
And I'm laughing because a lot of women now have these I think they're called the Spanx, for holding in bits of themselves. And you're kind of looking, going, is that, do I like looking at myself in a pair of Spanx? It's what it is. And you said make it fun and colorful and cheery and fresh and new. I will say everyone that's going to listen to this podcast all over the world will be going through their knicker drawers afterwards, Patricia, and there will be bags of old knickers being thrown out.
And like honestly, you'll feel good. You'll feel good, and it's ultimate self-care, and that's what feng shui is about. It's like tending to your temple, your own personal temple, yourself, and tending to the temple that your soul, your home, your body lives in, your house.
That is wonderful. Patricia, thank you so much. So everybody, you can check out Patricia on her website, www.patricialohan.com. As I said, she has some free resources on her website and also a mini course on feng shui. And you can see all the success stories she has as well. You have your own podcast, Powerhouse Feng Shui Podcast, Instagram, Powerhouse Feng Shui. And you're on Facebook, and you have a powerhouse feng shui group as well, a community that people can join, free group. And you're also on YouTube as well, and making feng shui easy, which I love. But you're also making it very fun, Patricia, which is part of your personality and your passion for what you do in helping others shines through as you speak. So thank you so much for being with us and sharing your time.
Thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. And if anyone does clear out their knicker drawer, follow me on Instagram, let me know, or send me a Facebook message. I love seeing the wins, or join us in the group and let us know. Let's build up momentum, start small with our smalls.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Patricia. And thank you again for everyone for listening and tuning in. And I look forward to connecting to you all again.